We are back with another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health podcast with Essentia Health. I have physician assistant from Essentia Health, Andrea Winans, with us today. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I'm very excited to have you. We're going to cover a lot of different things today, but all of them fall under the gynecology umbrella. So let's kick things off with you telling us, what is gynecology?
Good question. Gynecology is anything that has to do with the care or issues with any of your gynecologic organs. So uterus, cervix, tubes, ovaries, vagina, vulva, urethra, clitoris, sexual health, anything that has to do with any of that.
So when I think of gynecology, I always think of like going and getting a regular checkup. So I want to also ask about that at the start. So how often should women be scheduling their regular checkups with a gynecologist?
So we recommend that you come see a gynecology provider once a year, just for a general checkup to make sure all your screening tests are up to date, do an exam, talk about contraceptive needs and anything that you may be at higher risk for.
And then what is the recommended age to start seeing a gynecologist?
Anytime you have any gynecologic concerns, whether that be pain or abnormal bleeding, need for birth control or contraception, or at least at age 21, which is when we start doing pap smear test, which is the actual test that's a swab of your cervix that screens for cervical cancer and trying to prevent that.
So if you have issues like the ones that you just mentioned, you can go earlier than recommended, but that's when you should kind of start getting on a regular schedule.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I'm curious about this. How often should women be getting a pelvic exam? Because I don't think I've ever even like talked to my doctor about getting one.
There's no clear answer to that question. Actually, anytime that you have concerns or are due for a pelvic exam or maybe some other swabs or like STI screening tests. But if you are not due for any of those tests and you don't have any symptoms, the current guidelines say that we don't necessarily need to do an exam every year, but you should see us every year. We'll decide together if and when we need to do a pelvic exam.
Okay, so when you go get your regular checkup with your gynecologist, if they feel it's needed, then they'll schedule that for you.
They'll just do it at that checkup usually, but yes.
Well, that's even better. So let's talk about the younger demographic and periods and all of the things that involve that. Are painful or irregular periods normal? Let's start with that, because when you get a period, you're usually, you know, a teenager. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of like taboo. You don't want to talk about it almost.
Yes. I love talking with people about their periods. So the gynecology office is a safe place to come ask your questions and address your concerns and talk about your period, because it's super normal. It's a normal function of the body. But if your periods are really painful, that's not normal. And we want to talk about if there's any tests that we want to run or medications that can help make it less painful or other things that we can do.
Right. And then also, you know, PMS, that's something that I know that I deal with a lot. So how can women manage PMS symptoms?
General healthy habits can make some difference. So getting good sleep, regular exercise, a well-rounded diet, having good stress release and coping skills and healthy social relationships, those things all make a difference. But sometimes PMS is more drastic and those aren't going to be enough. So medications like types of hormonal birth control that will control your cycle can make a really big difference. So seeing a gynecology provider to talk about that can be really helpful, and we'll figure out what options are good for you. It also is really helpful for PMS symptoms specifically to keep a symptom diary of when you're having your symptoms, what symptoms are worse. Then we can kind of see, does anything affect it and which treatment options might be best for you.
And going off that, it's probably best to do that when you get your period as well, like keep track of your cycle so that you know if your period is regular or irregular.
That can be really helpful. Yeah. Tracking your cycle is something that we often ask about when you come see us. And a normal cycle, when we ask about, is your cycle regular? What we mean is from day one of bleeding to day one of your next bleed, how many days are between that? Normal is anywhere from 21 to 35. And it's normal for that to vary a little bit for you month to month. But if it's shorter than that or much longer than that, that could be a sign that something else is going on. So you should talk to us about that.
So if you're tracking your cycle and it falls, let's say one day your cycle is 21 days and then the next time it's 30 days, is it normal as long as it falls within that window for the most part?
That amount of variability would be considered a little bit abnormal, but doesn't necessarily mean that anything's wrong. lots of things affect our hormones, which you have probably noticed in your life. When you're really stressed, or if you're exercising really hard, or there's a time period where there's other stuff going on and you're not eating enough, all of those things can delay your cycle and make it be a bit later that month.
So lots of different life factors that can make their way in there.
So many, yes.
So another thing women deal with is frequent UTIs. Why do women get frequent UTIs, and what even causes a UTI in the first place?
So a UTI, or urinary tract infection, is when there's an infection and bacteria inside the bladder. So usually our urine is actually sterile, no bacteria. And when there's bacteria there, it can cause symptoms like burning when you pee, sometimes itching, peeing way more frequently, or blood in your urine. And that can be from an infection nearby in the vagina. It can be from stress. It can be from not drinking enough water, or it could be a sign that something else is going on, especially if you're getting really frequent UTIs. More serious medical things like diabetes or anatomic differences or an autoimmune issue, those things can also contribute to that. So you should go see your medical provider.
Would you know for sure if you had a UTI?
Unless you are pregnant, it's only considered a UTI if you have symptoms. So okay. Yes.
Okay. So you don't have to worry about maybe having one that doesn't have symptoms or anything like that.
Exactly. No.
So now let's talk about another type of infection, sexually transmitted infections. What are the signs and symptoms of those, and how can we protect ourselves?
The signs and symptoms are going to vary a little bit depending on which infection. And they also sometimes go together. When you have one, you can be a little bit more vulnerable to getting another one if you're exposed. So signs and symptoms, common ones are going to be like vaginal, vulvar itching, burning, foul odor, weird discharge, or a ton of extra discharge, and sometimes like pelvic pressure or pain. But sometimes they also have no symptoms. So that's one of the reasons we recommend just routine screening, especially for people under the age of 25 who are sexually active, at least once a year, as well as anytime you're having a new sexual partner, or if you're someone who has multiple sexual partners. Other things that really help also is those regular screening tests and talking with your partner or partners about your testing, your test results, the timeline of your testing, and their testing.
What birth control methods are available for women, and how can we determine which one is right for us?
That's a fantastic question, and also a thing I love talking about at your gynecology visits.
So there's a lot of different types of birth control, and I love that you said you love talking about it, because it does kind of feel like you need to have a conversation with your provider to find out which one is best for you and your lifestyle.
Absolutely. And truly, the best one for you is one that is safe for you to use and one that you want to and will use.
So I have talked about perimenopause before on this podcast. I highly suggest everybody goes and listens to those episodes for more in-depth. But let's just talk about the early signs and symptoms of perimenopause and when it hits women.
I like to tell patients that perimenopause is an era of your life. Also that it can cause a ton of different symptoms, and we know your hormone levels are changing. So the symptoms that they're going through, they're real. You're not losing your mind. These symptoms are real and they're temporary. And there's some things that we can do to help you manage them. But those symptoms can really be anywhere from like mid-30s to 50 for when you're in that perimenopause era. And especially we see things like hot flashes, hot flushes, your sleep gets lousy, you feel more tired, partly because of that lousy sleep. You might feel a little more achy and a little more irritable. And we also really commonly see changes in your menstrual cycle, but there are three types of changes that we really want you to let us know if you're seeing these things. And that's if your cycle starts to be less than 21 days from day one of bleeding to day one of bleeding, that's abnormal. We want you to come see us. As well as if you start bleeding for longer than 8 days, or if your cycle suddenly gets way heavier. Often it's just from those big hormone shifts of perimenopause, but sometimes it's a sign that something more serious is going on.
So from perimenopause, obviously menopause comes next. How do we know when we're transitioning into menopause?
So perimenopause itself is an era of transition. And then when you are either menopausal or postmenopausal, those are kind of used interchangeably, is once you hit 12 months of no menstrual bleeding, then you are through menopause. You still might have some of those transition symptoms. Those will taper off after a while. And then after that 12 months of no bleeding, any vaginal bleeding that you have is abnormal, and we really need you to come see us to rule out something serious going on or another cause of that problem.
I always like to go talk to my gynecologist or my provider, and peace of mind, I guess.
Absolutely. Yes. Sometimes it makes a big difference to just hear like these symptoms are real. Other people are experiencing this. It's going to go away. And also things that we can do to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that in perimenopause and menopause, maybe being exhausted is a symptom. Is it normal to be constantly exhausted?
I'm going to say no. Now, it's definitely normal in this era of life to be more tired. As we mentioned, your sleep gets lousy, you get hot flashes, you're busy. But if it's more severe than that, like constantly exhausted sounds more severe to me. So that could indicate anemia or problems with your thyroid, or that you're not eating enough, or that something else more serious is going on. So you should come talk to us.
So how can we manage menopausal symptoms? The ones you mentioned, hot flashes, mood changes, all of those things. How can we kind of balance those out?
Those good, healthy habits can make a pretty big difference. Regular exercise, eating enough and getting a variety, a well-balanced diet, staying hydrated, getting good sleep, which I always tell patients, it feels kind of cruel to recommend that you get good sleep when one of your symptoms is that your sleep has just gotten so much worse. But having those good, healthy sleep hygiene habits does help. Also limiting some triggers for hot flashes like spicy foods and alcohol. And then big thing that we can do is medications. A menopausal hormone therapy is a safe option for many people experiencing these menopause and perimenopausal symptoms. We're not trying to replace the hormone in menopausal hormone therapy. We are just adding back a little bit to relieve your symptoms.
And I know another big thing that I always hear about when people are talking about going through perimenopause or menopause is gaining weight. You know, people say I'm gaining weight without changing my diet or exercise, or maybe even before perimenopause. Why does that happen?
That is such a common concern for people, especially around this era of life, but also other times. You are so right. So the reason that this happens is especially in this time period because our metabolism slows as we age. And that is the normal progression, regardless of whether you were born with ovaries or testes. But it is especially noticeable in perimenopause because if you were born with ovaries, when that estrogen decreases, the weight starts to redistribute on your body. And it can be really noticeable to people, to us ourselves, when more of that weight is around the belly area. And then also because the body composition is changing. So less muscle, more fat. And that feels like more weight, even if it isn't necessarily always changing the number on the scale.
Right. Is there anything that can be done about that, or just maybe implement some more lifestyle changes?
Mostly lifestyle changes, but a really important one is one to make sure you're eating enough. It can be easy to feel like, oh, I should just hyper restrict. That's what a lot of fad diets are. And that's going to put your body in starvation mode and possibly make this much worse. And then another big one is adding some weight and resistance training that will help build muscle. Muscle burns more energy, helps with balance and independence, and can just help that like feeling good and strong and confident in your body.
Yeah, it seems like there are things that can be done. So a common theme of this podcast, any questions that you might have, talk to your provider when you go in, you know, for your visits or even in between those times, and have that peace of mind.
Absolutely. The gynecology office should be a safe place to talk about these things. Know that it's normal for us, but I know it can be still hard to bring up. If you don't feel safe and comfortable with your gynecologist, find a different one. There's lots of us out there, and we want to talk with you about these things, especially any concerns you're having.
Absolutely. So we have a few listener submitted questions from women that have been listening to the Real Talk on Women's Health podcast. So the first one says that I'm curious about hormone replacement therapy. I'm almost 44. I've watched many friends suffer through menopause and the transition into it. How can I make this as smooth as possible? And I know we kind of talked about that transition period, but what advice would you give to this listener?
Go see your gynecologist. We can absolutely help. Also, keep talking to your friends about this. I feel like that makes a big difference too, and really normalizes the symptoms and the treatment. Other things are addressing in layers, having a fan on you at night, avoiding those triggers. And then one thing that's kind of confusing to people is that there's no test for menopause. And the majority of the time, it's not medically or clinically indicated to test your hormone levels. Because in menopause, we know some hormone levels are increasing, some are decreasing. And we know that that's causing some of your symptoms. But when we give people hormones in menopause, we call that menopause hormone therapy because we're not replacing that hormone. We're not trying to get you out of menopause. We're trying to help you cope and get through it.
Right. And then another listener submitted question that we got is about starting estrogen. It says, how long after starting estrogen can one expect to start feeling the positive benefits?
The short answer is about 6 weeks that you should be feeling pretty full benefits from your estrogen hormone therapy. The more nuanced answer is it depends on what form of estrogen you're getting, if that's through a patch or a pill or the vaginal cream for vaginal symptoms. And some Some people start feeling some benefits in as few as 3 days after they start, but 6 weeks for that full benefit.
So I'm going to throw a question at you now as we kind of start to wrap things up. In your position at Essentia Health, what is like a very common question women ask you and the answer to it? Because I'm sure if you get asked a certain question a lot of different times, people listening to this podcast probably have the same question too.
So we've already hit on a lot of the really common questions that I get here. What's normal? What's abnormal? Why am I gaining weight? But another really common question that I get a lot is, can we check my hormone levels? I think I'm in perimenopause. And the answer is no, probably not. And you probably are. So there are lab tests that we can check your estrogen and progesterone levels, but they are very rarely indicated because they can be really expensive and they don't actually change what we're doing. We know that your hormone levels, some are increasing, some are decreasing because you're right, you're in perimenopause.
Well, I think we covered a lot on this episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health podcast with Essentia Health. Before you go, what is a good website that people can go to learn more about the gynecology department at Essentia Health?
EssentiaHealth.org. It's just the general Essentia website. And then you can search for gynecology providers and find one and make an appointment at a clinic near you.
Andrea Winans from Essentia Health, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.